Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
I don't get the joke. Temporary layoff, good times, easy credit ripple, good times, scratching and surviving, good times. None of these are good things. It's like sodomy is coming, good time. No, it's not. It's not at all. I'm not one of these guys who's blaming the world for where I'm at. I'm at where I'm at because I made bad decisions. But on top of those bad decisions, God's looping up my ass. There's not a thing I know how to do. All I know how to do is take videos at concerts. It's really all I know how to do. And write some words and do a podcast. I don't know how to do anything else. This idea that Pearl Jam are the heroes of the Seattle movement is absolute lunacy. It's insanity. And the no smoking policies kill me. No one wants to smoke in the venue, don't worry. But if the show is going to be 3 hours long, you better stamp my fucking hand and give me and show me where the door is to go out and smoke a cigarette. I paid $60 for a seat so I can retrieve the seats when I come back in from smoking a cigarette.
I always talk about weed. Force headline on you. I am not going to hit you. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to force things. I will never force headline on you. I am not going to hit you with a weird festival in, you know, Florida with one band I've heard of and a bunch of EDM artists on it. I'm not going to read that to you. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do me any.
So the lady goes, "Stop complaining. At least you're not dead."
Staten Island is a racist place. Just because you may not be a racist doesn't mean you can write an article saying, "Why are we known as racist? That's so wrong. It shouldn't be like that." Well, everybody's a racist. Spend your day clipping coupons. Go to the supermarket. Buy food. And prepare it at home. I know that's a wild and crazy idea.
You can't... Don't you dare! Spin Magazine, you do some dumb things. But I gotta tell you, you spent 7 weeks hyping the Ryan Adams covering Taylor Swift album, and then you panned it? Are you good?
It's my birthday. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. And that's how you do a birthday intro. What goes on? Welcome back into another action-packed Jay Porks podcast. I am Jay Porks, hanging out with Buddy Christ. Put me behind the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine every week. Ever popular, nobody. If I'm serious about hanging out with Buddy Christ, I will send you a picture. So let's get down to business. I don't have no time to play around. What is this? Must be a circus in town. I'm dropping shit down on these clowns. Can I have a witness? Hell yeah. No, but seriously. In all seriousness, it is my birthday, which is cool. And that's why the podcast is a day late. Because I wanted you to get it on my birthday because, you know, that could be your gift to me. You can click this and you could listen to it. And you could give me all of the likes and all of the shares on the internet. A little end of an era for me here. I'll tell you why. So, it's my birthday. You know that already. But in all seriousness, if you follow me on Instagram, you saw that I had a big day yesterday. I had a big day. I got some gifts because I have the best friends in the world. Sometimes. So I got a brand new laptop. I got a brand new professional podcast recording microphone. Professional. It's a snowball one. It's like round. It's fucking dope. Anyway. But since I have work in the morning, or at, in the afternoon, I don't want to open up the new laptop and not be able to sleep because I'm concentrating on doing new things. So I didn't open it up yet, but what I am going to do, what I've decided to do, is in 2016, we're going to premiere the new podcasting equipment. We're going to get the new mic. We're going to have the new comp. You're going to love the shit out of it. Like you already do. How can you not love me? People ask me what I'm doing for my birthday. I'm going to work because I'm an adult. I'm an adult who has a job. So I'm going to work. That's what I do. I've spent the last month telling customers that it's my birthday on the 16th, letting people know that it's my birthday, and letting people know where I'm going to be on my birthday, and that's at Primo Pizza. As of Tuesday, pasta night, I didn't get any birthday tips. Like, usually, a couple of years ago, a table gave me $50. Usually, I'm used to, like, telling people it's my birthday and getting gifts from it, like yesterday. So yesterday, after the incomparable Amanda bought me such lovely gifts, she was also kind enough to bring me to Red Bank, New Jersey, where we went to Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. You ever seen Clerks and Mallrats in the movie? All the Kevin Smith Jersey movies? All the movies that have Jay and Silent Bob in it? Well, there's a comic book store, and it's got all the stuff. Got all the stuff from all the films. Actually, reading from the Wikipedia here. Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash is a comic book store owned by filmmaker Kevin Smith and named after the fictional duo played by Smith and Jason Mewes in Smith's films. The store is the setting for the reality show Comic Book Men, and where the podcast Tell 'Em Steve Dave and I Sell Comics are recorded, as well as select episodes of the Smodcast. Anyway. Alright, it's seen on the film for Chasing Amy. Oh, I have that. Oh, it's on my other, my third new, it's on my new computer. Okay, so anyway, Clerks 2, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, all those films take place in Jersey, and anyway, so, in Red Bank, Kevin Smith owns a comic book store where he not only sells comic books, but he also sells, like, memorabilia. There's, like, you know, you can buy, like, a movies t-shirt from Clerks 2. You can buy a little stuffed Buddy Christ. You can buy him. This guy's giving me all sorts of inspiration. Like, for instance, I came home yesterday and watched Dogma, and in that film, there's these three kids who killed somebody with a hockey stick. I was next to those hockey sticks. I was next to that jersey. It's just really cool that I was next to all that stuff. It was really rad. So they have from Clerks, they have Silent Bob's wardrobe. They have from Mallrats, they have Silent Bob's hat and coat. They have Magic Eye poster, which in the film, Ethan Suplee's character tries to unsuccessfully see a sailboat. Oh, I didn't see that. They have the Ash artwork. From Chasing Amy, they have the Blunt Man and Chronic pages. So if you're a stoner who's seen a bunch of Kevin Smith movies, this would be awesome for you. And if you're a stoner who's seen a bunch of Kevin Smith movies, email me at jporkspodcast@gmail.com. jporkspodcast@gmail.com. I always say, if when I was a kid, when I was growing up, if they would have told me that hot girls would have been into comic books and stuff when I got older, I would have just continued on that path. But I was told that I had to grow up. So anyway, after we left Dash, we're walking down the street because even though it's December, it was 64 degrees. 64 degrees. Insane. And we went to an arcade. How great is that? I just wish I was a little more high. But other than that, it was great. I was high enough. I was high enough to enjoy myself. I went to Bobby Flay's Burger Place. Not bad. Not a bad day. So If you're thinking about getting me a birthday gift, you're gonna have to top Red Bank and all of that stuff. And I don't think you are. I don't think you're gonna be able to do it. But anyway, that's where all my gifts come from. That's where my good mood comes from. That's where all those pictures on Instagram come from. And that's where the 2016 photo for this podcast is gonna come from when I take a picture with Buddy Christ. I came home, I had to watch Dogma. It was funny. If you know the movie Dogma, it's like it has a lot to do with religion, but like not. It does, but it pokes fun of it, but not really pokes fun of it. It's just there's a loophole in Catholic dogma. But the girl I was dating at the time that this movie came out, which was 1999, she is very, very Catholic. I mean, she is like really into God, and she chose this film. So, I mean, thinking back on it, I mean, not that I wish bad things upon this girl, but I do like to make fun of religion to religious people. So, I'm just thinking in my mind that this girl sat next to me for 2 hours watching Dogma. And she thought that she was choosing, I mean, she chose the movie and she thought, like, you know, I was going to hate it like I normally did. Because that's what happens when your girlfriend chooses the movie, you normally hate it. In eighth grade, anyway, or ninth grade. That might have been 8th grade. Yeah, in 8th grade I went to see Dogma. Great fucking movie. Extremely underrated. There's so many lines I want to quote, but then I keep forgetting them because I smoke a lot of pot, hence why I like Kevin Smith movies. The store is actually, if you've seen Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Brody's Secret Stash, that's the comic book store. That's it, right? So there's that. So I had a big, that was Monday. I had a big Monday. So I got home. And I told Andy, I said, Andy, listen, I'm going to hit you with the podcast on Tuesday night so we can go on Wednesday because it's my birthday and yada, 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 all that stuff. It's just crazy that we're already at the end of this year. We're already at the end of this year. There's so many year-end lists that it's not even funny. All of the lists are terrible. But I'm not going into that right now. What I'm going to go into is Radio.com is shutting down. You guys know that? Recently announced that Pandora has acquired Radio. RDIO, by the way. Snap. Now, Radio have released a statement saying that the streaming service will shut down entirely on December 22nd. We're honored to have connected you with the music you love. Here's the statement. The service's farewell feature offers users a timeline of their history on radio and offers ways to export their data like playlists, favorites, and commercials. And comments. Commercials. Nobody wants to export commercials. Pandora purchased key assets of Radio, clarifying that they won't operate Radio's business, but plan to use the company's technology and talent to accelerate its own business strategy. I mean, think about it this way. Think about Pandora for a second. This website is far, far away from where they were in 2006 when they barred me from the message board and I got my $36 back from the Pandora One membership. We are way, way past that time. Pandora is an entity. I don't see Spotify buying things. Everyone's got Pandora now. And if you got T-Mobile, you can even listen to it if it's not on your data plan, which works for me. You can listen to Pandora when I'm on the bus, and it's not going to affect my data. I don't need unlimited data. Unlimited data is crazy. How much do you use? So I just got to... This real quick. Don't mind my little potpourri of stuff here, but I get on the bus the other day. I get on the bus, I'm going to work, and these two kids get on the bus and the mom's screaming at the kid. Mom's screaming for the kid. Like, the kid ran to the back and she's like, Moet! Moet, get over here! Moet! Moet, get over here! She's calling Moet. Her kid's name is Moet. What is this? Name your kid after the reason that you're pregnant? Hour? I don't understand. Like, she woke up one day, she was like, oh, man, I'm pregnant. Oh, I remember. I got too drunk that night. Like, I don't understand it. The other, you got two other kids. Are their names Chris Hall and fucking Don P? I don't get it. I've heard some weird names. Like, listen, Apple's a weird fucking name, but it's not Moet. The fuck is... You gotta... Do you have a cousin named Alizé? Is this where this is going? I don't understand. Maybe that's a subtle, like, maybe, like, she foresaw the kid was being a badass in the future. Maybe she was like, ah, this kid's gonna suck. I should have swallowed it. And, like, that's, it's like a pun, you know, Moet, because I should have drank it instead of inserting it into my vagina. But the most annoying thing about Moet was her mom. Moet's mom is screaming at her to be quiet. Moet and her brother are singing songs, they're duetting, and it's pretty cool. They're doing Taylor Swift. I mean, it was cool from them, you know? Rather hear that on the bus than people, than the old lady who goes up to the bus driver. And it's not one old lady and it's not one bus driver. This is a generalization, but it's always the same situation. An older woman goes up to the front of the bus, leans on the pole, starts talking to the bus driver, and she says, yeah, I used to live in Brooklyn. It's not the same. It's changed a lot. Changed so much. Yeah, the thing about that is that you just might as well say, I don't like black people. Because that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying when you say Brooklyn's changed a lot. Because you left Brooklyn. If you're on the bus in St. Ann, you left Brooklyn. For some reason, you decided instead of helping Brooklyn, instead of sticking around and keeping the neighborhood alive, you decided to leave. Because it changed a lot. I overheard that at a table today. I was all sarcastic about it too. I was picking up plates and they were like, and I heard the old guy, he's like, telling you, from the 90s on, it's a different world. It's a different world. And I came over to the table with this fucking smile. I was gloating. And I'm like, how good does it feel? I'm like, I love the future. I'm like, isn't it great that my generation gets to shape the earth for the next 50 years? Isn't that great? Yeah, and they were mortified at me. They were like 15-year-old white girls. They literally couldn't even. But I continued that with, I said something like, yeah, but the thing is, when Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, were people going around saying, I don't call this person. Just walk over there. Go see him. Don't be antisocial. It's not like people were calling. People picking up the phone and saying, yeah, things have really changed. Yeah, you got a phone, motherfucker. What do you mean? Things have changed. Yes, we know a lot of things now. Things have changed. But people are always talking about the bad things that change. People always want to talk about things changing and how it bothers them. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have climate change. Well, we did, and it was probably spoken about, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't paying attention. I didn't hear about it until a couple years ago. When I was a kid, I didn't hear about terrorism because it was pre-9/11. When I was a kid, we didn't hear about smartphones because we didn't have them. All we heard about is the ozone layer and how we gotta fix it. You know? And I sat back saying, what is the ozone layer doing for me? I raised my hand in class. I said, we've been talking about this for years. Never going to be fixed. If the things we do aren't going to fix it. Guess what? The ozone, they fixed it. Yeah, they fixed the ozone layer, okay? You want to talk about things changing? We don't have to worry about that anymore. That's a change that's good. Let's talk about things changing. We have a couple states with legal pot. That's a change I could believe in. I want to talk about things changing. I was at work, and on my phone, I just watched Killer Mike interview Bernie Sanders in Killer Mike's barbershop. Okay? It's a It's an hour-long thing. That's not like an Onion headline. That's a fact. It was very cool. So why? I mean, how do you not like the future? We've got other things we need to fix. But stop pointing at all things that are change or bad. Well, thanks, Obama. Yeah? Hey, look at the gas prices. Just Google the gas prices. Just Google them. Please Google them. Right, gas prices under Bush versus Obama. And you tell me what you see. Not saying that this guy's the best president in the world. Just saying he's not a fascist bigot fuckhead. Who's racist? I'm sorry. See, wonder why I started... I'm a little angry. I'm a little angry at our Republican neighbors, everybody on Staten Island, because the debate was on tonight, the GOP debate, and I wasn't tuned into it. So I said, fuck this. I'm getting some weed. I'm getting a ride home. That's it. I'm not fucking dealing with this. So my weed guys drive me. He turns up the radio, and I hear Chris Christie speaking. First of all, this thing's on the radio? Why is it on the radio? If you're driving, you shouldn't be listening to a serious political discussion that may or may not represent the future of this country. If you're driving, you're not paying attention as well as you should be to the road or the debates. You need to pick one. It's not like a baseball game. It's not like you have a song on. You're just driving. You know, what do you mean? It's a fucking debate. It's a serious thing. If you want to watch this, sit down and take fucking notes. But it doesn't matter. It's not like you care who wins. It's not like you care what is said. They're just voting. They're going to vote for the Republican person. Because that's what Republicans do. Republicans don't hear you. They don't want to listen to you. They just want to be Republican all over you. They just want a Republican all over your face. Well, I can't do that. But did anybody find it weird that the drug dealer was at the GOP debate on? What the fuck's wrong with you? You know you're a drug dealer, right? I know you're a white guy, but you're selling me drugs, and you want to elect Donald Trump. Do you understand what you're talking? Do you understand what life is about? When you do things like that and say things like that? The kid's selling me drugs as a Republican. I mean, this world is fucked, man. It's fucked. But it was good that I did hear Chris Christie. Somebody said, well, it says this in the Bible, and Chris Christie took the opposing side. That's always good. That's always good. So, there's that. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. Army Navy was playing. And I was at work, and this guy comes in. Well, this couple. And he comes in, and he's like, what, you guys don't like America? You don't have Army Navy on? Army Navy? Okay, I'll turn it on. I turned it on. I'm thinking in my head, wait a second. Army versus Navy. First of all, you're in the armed forces, but we're playing sports? It's a little odd. We're having a little too much fun there, aren't we? Second of all, like, what in case a war breaks out right now? Like, this second. Like, a new war, not a war that we're already in. Like, do they call a timeout and... Like, do they take off the helmets and go to war? Like, is it fourth down in Iraq? I don't get it. These are questions I have. I just have questions. I don't have answers, but I just have a lot of questions. I mean, you talk about third and long. That fourth in Syria is going to really fucking be hard to convert on. Especially when you don't know who's a refugee and who's ISIS and who's ISIL and who's jihad. You know? Jeez. Army, Navy. Are you not American? What does that even mean? What's one thing got to do with another? I'm from New York. I don't care about college football. I'm from New York. Now, to be fair, the guy who asked to put on this game, he's a coach. He's a football coach on one of these teams. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying the "Are you not American?" comment is a little weird. He could have just said, "Listen, I want to watch the Army Navy game." Here's the thing: like, you walk into the dining room, I have on what I want to have on. But as soon as the table asks if they want, you know, to change channel, I'll change it. But that's a little trick I have. I don't announce that. I just keep that to myself. You know, and then if you want me to change it, I'm like, "Oh, okay, sure." But I'm not gonna go to the table and say, "Hey, you want something on? Yeah, put on SpongeBob." And I'm like, "Fuck you! I'm not doing that." Like today, I saw that I came in and I had a table, so I didn't get a chance to like fix my man bun and wash the wash my face so I don't look like a fucking stoner. So I came in, I didn't change the channel, I didn't have a chance to change the channel. So I came in, I was giving these guys food, and I fucking saw, I looked on the screen, the fucking news was on, and that is it. Oh, that's a problem. If you're in a dining room full of different fucking people, I had fucking 10 tables at one time. You got at least 2 people at each table. Everyone's got a different view on life, and then we can turn on the news and we're all going to comment on it simultaneously. That's called Twitter in real life, and I don't want to experience that. Not at all do I want to experience any of that. So I changed it to sports. Because sports is everything. Some lady was like, "Why do you always have sports on?" Because it's a restaurant. Because sports aren't political. Every time a debate goes on, I will turn the volume up on wrestling. Every time a debate goes on, I will turn up the volume on my Spotify playlist. Every time a debate goes on, I will look for something sharp and try to cut myself with it. Just letting you know. Army, Navy. Cares about that? Not that I don't care, but I'm why? Are you not American? I don't know. Check my patch on my arm. Am I wearing a patch that says that I'm Muslim? Do you realize how crazy it is in a country that only exists because people wanted to leave their country for religious freedoms and tax reasons? Do you realize that now we're the country that's trying to kick people out, and we don't want people to come? Do you just think about that in your mind for a second? Have these people no common decency? Whatever. And of course, let's never forget when Noel Gallagher said that Adele makes music for grannies, meaning grandmothers, and he doesn't give a fuck about it. Amen to that. Back after this.
Hey everybody, it's Andy from the Andy Dare Show, just thanking you for checking out the Jay Porks podcast. If you want to support Jay and his show, it's easy and it's free. All you got to do is go to Facebook, search Jay Porks, and push the like button. Also on Twitter at Jay Porks. Also Instagram at Jay Porks. There's a running theme here. It's Jay Porks all the time. And the HQ is jayporks.com. If you want to support the Dare Podcast Network, all you got to do is go to andydare.com. And subscribe via iTunes. You'll get the Andy Dare Show, the Jay Porks Experience, the Tyler Cale Show, and Spin Class for absolutely $0. We want to thank everybody who's helped spread the word here at Dare Network over 2 years that we've been doing it. And back to the Jay Porks Podcast.
And we are back. Okay, normally this is the time where I go through the music headlines with you. But it's not a busy week, but it's a non-busy week. Lists, and lists. That's what you got. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a second, and I'm going to let you know all of the fantastic places you can go that are affiliated or that I'm that Jay Porks podcast supports. People you can hit up. Okay, now every week, the headlines are powered by AntiQuiet. AntiQuiet is a site that is no bullshit, no clickbait. They might go a few days without posting a story because nothing really happened. But all the stuff that does happen is cool, and it's assuredly cool. So you gotta check out AntiQuiet. You gotta follow them on Twitter, at AntiQuiet. Like them on Facebook. Tell them Jay Pork sent you. I'll send you a t-shirt or something. I've got t-shirts. Also, a great friend of mine, Christina Rocks up in Detroit, the D, up in the D. Christina Rocks every weekend, every Sunday morning, has the Time Warp, 89xradio.com, every Sunday morning. So she's got like the little throwback alternative show. It's really rad. And she's like cool people. And she's a supporter of the Jay Porks podcast. I'm a supporter of the Time Warp. And you should be supporters of both. So, and you can follow her on Twitter, at Christina Rocks. Go to the website, ChristinaRocks.com. But there's no H in Christina. There's no H. So you're going to have to watch that. But go there. Tweet at her. Tell her I said hi. She is the coolest cucumber in the salad. Also, just want to quick shout out real quick to ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you get all your live music, news, and reviews for the fans, by the fans. I have a concert in my future. It's Ween at Terminal 5. Oh, yes. Remember Ween? Remember when they were playing Colorado? They're playing three nights in February in Colorado. Well, they booked some more dates, three of which are at New York City's own Terminal 5. And you can go, if you go to my YouTube page and look up Kasabian, you can look at my videos of Kasabian. If you want to look at my videos of Dinosaur Jr. at Terminal 5, you can do that as well. And you can get an idea of where I'm going to be getting video from. I'm ready to rock. So that's April 14th. It's a Thursday. I can't work. I told them I can't work. I'm off that day. But I said I can't cover. Kid Matt said that was 4 months away. And I said, I'm just saying I can't work. So that'll be up at ConcertConfessions.com. Of course it will. I mean, do you even need to ask? And I'm hoping to get into something before that. If something becomes available, I will go. If you know a show, if this local show's going on, you want to go see, you think I should go see him? jporkspodcast@gmail.com.
jporkspodcast@gmail.com.
Email me. Say hi. Tell me what you think I should be doing with my life. Like, I live in Staten Island. I can get to the city. Tell me what's going on there. Tell me where the venue is. That should be my motto. Jay Porks, tell me where the venue is. That's all. Just tell me, how do I get to the venue? I'll be there. And of course, you always got to stick with HQ. You got to stick with headquarters. That's andydearer.com. That's where you get all Dearer Network-related podcast stuff. Whether that's Jesse Unplugged, The Tyler Kale Show, Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, the Jay Porks podcast, or even the flagship show, The Andy Dearer Show. You get that all at andydearer.com. And we are archived, interestingly enough, on Archive. Archive.org. Look for Andy Deer Show, Deer Network. I'm on there somehow. I wish Archive had an easier way that you can, like, tag things. Because if you search Archive J Porks, you're not going to get it, even though all the podcasts are labeled J Porks. So it should really know, but it doesn't. But it's more of a simple system archive. It's simple yet complex. It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma, sort of. Lots of great Grateful Dead and Meat Puppet shows on there. And, you know, I'm sure bands you like, too. I'm sure there's bands on there that you'll enjoy. But if not, you know, if you want to listen to stuff I like, Grateful Dead, Meat Puppets, they're on there. I just turned and I saw Buddy Christ giving me the thumbs up and I got excited. This guy's the man. So there's all that. And of course, I mean, it's the second Sunday in the month. I don't know what's going on. Wait a minute. Is someone trying to tell me something? Are we? No, we're not. We're not. Okay, I guess we are.
It's true. It's true. We're so lame.
Homer, you are exactly right. We are going to get lame for a little while. Okay, we're doing something different this week. This week, what I did was, right after I watched the WWE TLC pay-per-view, which, as you know, every month when wrestling pay-per-view happens, we go over it here on the Jay Parks podcast. And that's because I got into wrestling, back into wrestling in March after taking like a 10-year sabbatical because it's an election year and I might as well keep myself entertained. So I just got home from work and I was watching the pay-per-view. I took some notes and I figured, you know what? I'm going to come in hot and just see what goes on. So, all right. For all the people emailing me, want to know what my feelings on it. I have not read one article. I have not clicked one review, one fan site, WrestleZone. I haven't gone to What Culture. I haven't done any of that. I don't know what the internet thinks of this pay-per-view yet, because since 8 o'clock Sunday night, I've been avoiding social media, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning now, because I wasn't going to watch the pay-per-view until I got home, and I needed to kill some time. I needed to not get the results. So anyway, first match on the card, we got New Day. The New Day are defending the tag team titles in a triple threat ladder match against the Uso brothers and the Lucha Dragons. Lucha Dragons are high flying, you know the Lucha Dragons are. Listen, I don't have to. If you don't know, just fast forward because there's no point in even listening to me. Anyway, match with a bunch of crazy high spots, not Edge and Christian, Matt and Jeff Hardy high spots, but we had a Selena Del Sol off the top of the ladder into a ladder from Kalisto. That was one thing that I noted. They didn't have Sin Cara do that move because they didn't want him to botch it because he's a botcha fucking maniac, even though they're on like the sixth Sin Cara. What I was paying attention was that New Day had a lot of rest during this match. They didn't take a lot of crazy bumps that the Lucha Dragons and the Usos went out there and just made the match what it was. Crazy high spots. The high spots were insane. And it was a dope match. It had me saying holy shit a bunch of times. And I was getting progressively more stoned as the pay-per-view went on. As you can probably hear by my voice, which is why I have notes. I have notes. I can't get lost because I have notes right here. So anyway, the New Day retained the titles because after all this craziness, going off ladders, going into tables, this, that, and the third, Xavier Woods, the third man in New Day, throws his trumpet at Kalisto while climbing the ladder, and it distracts Kalisto long enough for Kofi Kingston to ascend the ladder, take down the tag titles, and ding, 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 and still, your WWF Tag Team Champions. New Day? I still like how WWF sounds. I can't say WWE. It's weird. Anyway, Ryback versus Rusev, I kind of skimmed through it a little bit because I don't care about this match at all. But Rusev went over. The interesting thing is that Ryback didn't tap. Ryback did the pass out routine. Now, you've heard me in the past complain about certain wrestlers tapping out, certain wrestlers not tapping out, like that whole Undertaker, Brock Lesnar fake tap, not the tap out that the ref didn't see, that whole thing, that kind of weirded me out. Kevin Owens tapping clean to John Cena a couple of months ago, that was very weird. Ryback, a meathead, a nobody. I mean, listen, Ryback, I'm not saying that Ryback is a bad worker. I'm just saying that he doesn't, I mean, he's just a Vince guy. I mean, if you see anyone jacked who doesn't look like they can string five intelligent words together at one time, that's a Vince McMahon creation. Because Vince likes big guys, and Ryback is the big guy. Feed me more. Wake up, it's feeding time. I'm never hungry in the morning. Like, I never wake up hungry. That's just me. But anyway, Rusev wins via submission, even though Ryback didn't submit. Which, you know, Ryback doesn't submit, but Kevin Owens is tapping? Whatever. That was a few months ago. Del Rio retained his title against his United States Championship against Jack Swagger in a chairs match. Never seen a chairs match before. Just hoping that these chairs can whack some charisma into Jack Swagger. Because, boy, for someone who can work, he's got We the People, and that's about it. That's about all he's got. I mean, as far as charisma-wise, as far as our personality. You know, the whole Yay America thing can only go so far. But it was a good match, surprisingly. The chairs were legal. So, like, if he put him through a table, would there have been a disqualification? These are the things I have... See, that's the problem I have with the commentary, is that I'm not getting... They're not getting these points across to me. They need to explain to me the intricacies of the rules, because a tables, ladders, and chairs match is just a ladder match that's an ODQ. It just so happens that there's chairs and ladders everywhere. You can use anything you want. But it's essentially a ladder match. They just call it a TLC match because, you know, they're paying homage to the late Left Eye Lisa Lopez. Bang. Thought I would have made that segue. So yeah, the finish was cool because Alberto Del Rio has this thing where he gets the... See, his finisher is lame because it takes a lot of effort from the other guy. Like, Jack Swagger had his legs tied up in the middle turnbuckle, and he, like, what he does is he stomps you. He stomps your chest. Alberto Del Rio comes off the top rope, stomps your chest. But he stacked a bunch of chairs underneath it, so it was a pretty cool spot. So Del Rio retains. I'm not surprised at all that Del Rio retains. He's probably going to hold the U.S. title till Cena comes back, and Cena is due back fairly soon. I never thought, I mean, that was a good 2 months without John Cena. Too bad everyone else got hurt. The Dudleys put the Wyatts over in a 4-on-4 elimination tables match. When you hear elimination tables match, you immediately think this is the Dudleys kind of match. And that's exactly why the Wyatts needed to go over, and they did. If you wonder, it's 4-on-4, so it's the Wyatt family is Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, Braun Strowman, and Eric Rowan. So over the past couple of weeks, you know, the Wyatts, you know, have been they got the Dudleys through tables somewhere, and then the Dudleys got mad. Bubba Ray was like, "What are you talking? What are you doing? We're legends, yada yada yada. We challenge you." And he's like, "Yeah, you only got two guys." So Tommy Dreamer, you know, if you want to go down to Concussion City, talk to Tommy Dreamer. He only remembers things that happened in wrestling matches. He doesn't have memory of like real life activities. He'll ask you how you doing, and then he'll ask you how you doing 5 minutes later. They cleared him, but they won't clear Daniel Bryan. I don't know. I don't get it. ECW thing, I guess. Anyway, so it was the Dudley Boys, Tommy Dreamer, and Rhino. Yeah, Rhino is still alive, the former ECW champion. So it was a 4-on-4 elimination tables match with the Wyatts going over. The key spot here was when it was 3-on-1. But Bubba Ray Dudley had lighter fluid, and he had a lighter, and he was about to light a table on fire and put Bray Wyatt through it, which would have been dope. Would have been dope to see a flaming table. But we didn't see the flaming table as Braun Strowman came in, made the save, put Bubba Ray Dudley through the table, ding, 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 he was the final one eliminated, and that was that. So the Wyatts finally got a win. The Wyatts needed a win. Bray Wyatt, he lost the beef with Roman Reigns. There was like a 3-month thing going on. And then the Wyatts, you know, challenged The Undertaker at Survivor Series, and they lost that. They needed a win. The Dudleys, I think, got a 3-year deal, so they don't need the win right now. They're not young talent. They're 10-time or 9-time tag champions. They're going into the Dudley Boys are going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Dudley Boys are going into the WWE Hall of Fame eventually. It's just a matter of when WrestleMania goes to Philadelphia. That's probably going to be 2007, but 2017, but we will see. And Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental title. I was excited about this match because I like Kevin Owens and I like Dean Ambrose. So as a fan, like some of these matches I had rooting interest. Actually, to be honest, it was only two matches I had rooting interest in. The rest of this, I'm just watching this as a fan who enjoys, you know, suspended reality for a short period of time. So I was getting to watch a great match between two guys I like. I mean, if you had a gun to my head, I'd rather Owens win. But you know what? Dean Ambrose pulled out the victory. Clean. It was a clean victory. Nothing dirty. No shenanigans. And I'm looking at my notes here. This could mean that Kevin Owens is moving. Because of injury, Kevin Owens is moving up in the card. That could happen. And I wouldn't be surprised, and you heard it here first. This will be my prediction. Kevin Owens wins the Royal Rumble and then beats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania for the title. If Triple H has as much stroke as the internet thinks he does, then we're going in that direction. If you want to give the title to Brock Lesnar again. We'll talk about the World Heavyweight Championship later on. So after that, we had Paige versus Charlotte. Charlotte's bringing out Ric Flair. She's the women's champion. I'm not calling it the Divas title. That's demeaning to women. I'm with the guy Adam from What Culture, where I'm saying women's championship. Anyway, so Charlotte's the women's champion. Past couple of weeks, she's been doing the old Ric Flair tricks, dirtiest player in the game, you know, feigning an injury and then rolling up her opponent who's supposed to be her friend. You know, Ric Flair's down at ringside coaching her up. She was strutting with Ric Flair the other day, a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown. They had matching Rolexes, and she was all snobby. She started to put on a little more makeup, dressing a little nicer in the backstage vignettes and interviews, hanging out with Flair, Space Mountain, the whole nine yards. And a couple of weeks ago on Raw, Paige, I think this went into Survivor Series, when Paige told Charlotte that her brother didn't have any fight in her. And her brother is really dead. And that was like a really awkward and weird situation to say that in the ring. And they didn't consult Ric Flair about it. So you knew Paige was going to lose that following match. But here I'm thinking, now the crowd, which was not into this match at all, seemed to be, if they were favoring somebody, they were favoring Paige. Paige, the person who turned on her friends, called Charlotte, she says Charlotte rides the coattails of Ric Flair. She wouldn't be here if she wasn't Ric Baby Flair, which, by the way, may or may not be accurate. Isn't it the best when shoot interviews happen when they're not meant to be shoot interviews? You know what I'm saying? Isn't that the greatest? It wasn't a bad match. The crowd just wasn't into it. The crowd was waiting for the World Heavyweight title match coming next. So Paige hits her finisher, the Rampage, goes for the cover. Ric Flair takes Charlotte's leg and puts it on the ropes. So referee breaks the count. And then Charlotte hits. How'd the match end? The crowd wanted the match to end. The crowd kept chanting, "We want Sasha. We want Sasha." And every time there was a kickout, whether it was Paige or Charlotte, the crowd booed as if, oh man, this match has to keep going. But the "We want Sasha" chants were prevalent, and it's just a matter of time. That Charlotte, you are holding that seat warm for Sasha Banks. She is going to take over the world along with Bayley. Women's wrestling is happening. It will be happening. Just right now, they have a Divas title that looks like a bad tramp stamp. I don't remember what the move was that Charlotte put Paige away with, but she put her away 1-2-3. I think she rolled her up. It might have been just a simple roll-up. Anyway, so they went for what they were doing was they were going for a double turn. They were going for turning Paige face and Charlotte heel simultaneously. And they were hoping for a better reaction from the crowd than they got. So that's how that went down. But yeah, when they go to Raw on Monday night, Paige will get cheered and Charlotte will get booed. Even though Paige is the one who brought out the dead people, who brought up dead relatives. But Paige has been in the industry for a while. Actually, her family ran a wrestling promotion. I think she's from Britain or the UK, wherever she's from. They ran a wrestling promotion, and actually, not only did Paige's mom take a pile driver while pregnant with Paige, because the whole family's wrestling, the whole family's wrestlers, but the first title Paige ever won, her mom had to put her over. She had to beat her mom. So, I mean, she comes from a long lineage of wrestling, so I'm sure that she wasn't trying to be, like, disrespectful when she did the Reed thing. Maybe she got the impression that it was cleared. Maybe they told her to shoot, and she really shot, and they were like, you shouldn't have really shot. It's a worked shoot. If you guys are wondering what any of these words mean, go to the Wikipedia wrestling glossary. And finally, in a tables, ladders, and chair match, Roman Reigns' redemption against Sheamus. Sheamus, who cashed in his money in the bank on Roman Reigns at Survivor Series, rendering him champion for 5 minutes and 15 seconds. Sheamus has had the title for a month. He's got the League of Nations. The League of Nations are a stable put together around Sheamus to try to help and get him over. Because the only thing the crowd chants at him is, you look stupid. See, the fans treat Sheamus, the fans look at Sheamus as a mid-carder. Because he's a good hand, and that's what he is. He's a mid-carder. He doesn't have commercial appeal. They're not going to invite him on Regis and Kelly. Regis and Kelly, whatever, Michael Strahan show. Roman Reigns is the guy. And everyone knows that WWE wants Roman Reigns to be the guy. He is the next John Cena. The only problem is, you're putting him in a very dangerous match that can end a career. Sheamus is the type of guy who works stiff. If you don't know what that means like, yeah, I know it's fake, but they kind of hit you for real sometimes because, you know, they work snug. You know, so it looks more real. Like, Vader works like that. Stone Cold works like that. He works snug. He doesn't care. And in Japan, you watch any tape of any wrestling from Japan, and they are flying around the ring. They fly. So, again, the crowd isn't that alive in this match. As I'm watching it, and also as I'm watching it, I'm also, like I said, you're making Roman Reigns take a beating here. He took a white noise. Sheamus gave Roman Reigns a white noise into a table on the outside, and it looked like Roman Reigns hurt his shoulder. Again, I didn't Google anything. So if Roman Reigns separated his shoulder at TLC pay-per-view, I didn't hear that. That's what it looked like. And if not, then, you know, Roman Reigns is really a much better worker than people give him credit for. Every time he ascended the ladder, some people booed. I don't understand why. If Vince hears you booing, they're going to push him back down to the bottom of this fucking thing. We got to get the title off Sheamus here. We're coming into the road to WrestleMania. You can't have a guy who draws no money, because that's what it is. Sheamus doesn't draw money. And that's what it's all about. Sheamus doesn't sell merchandise. Roman Reigns has the number 2 selling merchandise to John Cena in this company. That means something. Forbes magazine had a whole piece, had a whole thing about how it wouldn't make financial sense for Sheamus to win this match. Because Sheamus is a mid-carder. I know that the WWE placed the belt on him, hoping that he would rise to the occasion, but they've given him the title several times before, and he hasn't. As a face and as a heel. This time, he's as a fucking heel. But he doesn't get heel heat. He gets just, people don't like him. Several chants of, we want Cena, but it was a we want Cena, Cena sucks chant. But then I heard a strong we want Rollins chant. So, I mean, this is not good news for any of these guys. I mean, besides the high spots, we're getting a lot of O's and A's, but that was it. So after reading that Forbes magazine piece, it makes no financial sense for the WWE to continue to have their title on Sheamus going into the WrestleMania season. It makes no sense. Sheamus draws no money. He sells no merch. He's a mid-card guy. So, of course, Of course, when Roman Reigns was ascending the ladder, and he was right near the belt, Alberto Del Rio and Rusev, part of the League of Nations, came out and beat the crap out of him. And then, on the outside, Roman Reigns hit Rusev and Alberto Del Rio with Superman punches, came back in the ring, only to get brogue kicked out of the ring. Sheamus ascends the ladder. Roman Reigns is at the bottom. He's gonna knock the ladder over and knock Sheamus off the ladder, but he just doesn't have enough in him to do it. And because it makes no financial sense, and it pisses everybody off, Sheamus unhooks the championship, and still, World Wrestling Federation champion, Sheamus. Ugh. I hate that guy. What a terrible, terrible way to end it. But that's not how it ended, which is good. Listen, that's how the title picture ended for tonight. But Roman Reigns, about to leave the ring, decided to take a chair and start mauling Rusev, Alberto Del Rio, and then Sheamus. He must have hit Sheamus with 14 or 15 chair shots. Officials started coming out. And then Triple H and Stephanie came out. Uh-oh. Triple H and Stephanie are coming out. Now I'm thinking we're jumping into the next storyline here. Triple H is yelling at him like it's trying to make it seem real. Triple H is like, so what? You lost. Relax, you know? He's like, calm down. Go in that corner for a second. Just chill out. He's like, and he's, you know, he wants doctors to help Sheamus because Sheamus looks in really bad shape after just, I'm telling you, Roman Reigns went nuts on these guys. He snapped. And that is exactly the Roman Reigns that I want to see, that everybody wants to see. I'm not saying don't talk. I'm just saying I want to see, this guy looks like he can snap and kill people, and that's what he should have been doing. And that's what he should have done this whole match. This whole match that went like 25 minutes. It went almost a half hour. So anyway, so Triple H is in the ring. He finally gets in the ring. He's checking out Sheamus. Next thing you know, Superman punched the Triple H from Roman Reigns. Crowd goes crazy. Now, at the end of this pay-per-view, the crowd is finally alive here because Triple H got punched in the face. You people really have a misconception about what goes on, a severe misconception about what goes on backstage to hate Triple H this much. And even I wanted Roman Reigns to take out Triple H, but, you know, you guys were dead most of the night, and that's what you do? That was the loudest pop besides the Dean Ambrose winning the Intercontinental title and the Selena Del Sol from Kalisto on Jey Uso off the ladder onto another ladder earlier in the night. So Roman Reigns takes the chair and he starts beating Triple H with the chair. Then he drags Triple H to the outside of the ring. Then he takes him and he power bombs him onto the Spanish announce table, which doesn't break. Then he gets on the English announce table, delivers a flying clothesline onto the Spanish announce table, which breaks with, you know, and he lands on Triple H, which shatters, landing holy shit chants throughout the arena. I think it was the Boston Garden, TD Garden, excuse me. So Roman Reigns is walking away. Stephanie is, like, crying. She's pleading. Stephanie is so great at acting. Like, you know, it's not, like, bad acting when Stephanie does. She's good at, like, you know, I believe her. Please, he's not even blinking. You're going to pay for this. And then there was a point where you heard Roman Reigns, he got on the announce table, like, and he stood there. He said, I know I lost my job, and I really don't care. Which, obviously, he didn't lose his job. This is just another angle. This is just working into a Roman Reigns versus Triple H match, which is going to be amazing. But as Roman Reigns was going up the, exiting the arena, and he was finally getting cheered, he finally got over. The crowd was chanting, thank you, Roman. Thank you, Roman. Like, are you kidding? If you would have been chanting this loud for the guy 15 minutes ago, maybe he would have won the fucking match. You kidding? And then he ran down the aisle. Triple H was like getting up and being helped to the back. And then Roman Reigns ran full speed down the aisle and hit Triple H with a six spear. And actually, go back to the ring. When Triple H was getting hit with the chair from Roman Reigns, the mic, the camera mic accidentally caught, like it caught some of Triple H saying, he kept saying, again, like, hit me again. You need to look more vicious, which is, you know, what he's saying. Again. So, see, here's the thing. When people see their favorite superstars not getting pushed, or not getting titles and not getting wins that they deserve, they blame Triple H for burying them. When, in actuality, Vince is the one who's not behind Roman Reigns. Triple H is behind Roman Reigns. Very much so. And you can ask anybody in the know, and that's including Dave Meltzer. Go to PW Insider, I'm telling you. They got it. So in 2015, in a year where, since March, I've been lame enough to get back into talking a little bit of sports entertainment. You know, because it was so fun back in the day. And I know that there was a boom in wrestling, and I know, like, that it was a pop culture thing, too. But, you know, I used to watch wrestling in the 90s, in, like, the mid-90s when I was a kid, like, when my dad would go to work, because me and my dad both slept in the living room because we were poor, and my dad hates wrestling, so I could never watch it when he was there. But, you know, I got to watch, like, the Saturday morning shows and stuff like that. And then I got into it when I moved to Staten Island, because my friends were into it. I got back into it, and I was into it a little bit in Brooklyn, because it was funny, because when I lived in Canarsie, the older Puerto Rican kids I hung out with, they would watch Nitro. So when I came over here and the friends here were watching Raw, we would like go back and forth. And that was just a great time for wrestling. And that's why I would suggest to anybody to subscribe to the WWE Network just to binge watch every episode of Monday Night Raw from 1993 till the current episode. Now, what I did is I started from the beginning, and I'm up to 99 right now. That's where I'm at when I'm not doing the podcast, when I'm just smoking weed at night. I'm binge watching Raw because it's cool. How many opportunities do you get to watch reruns of wrestling? And listen, we're in an election year. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. So listen, find some things to watch, because find some things to take to. You have to suspend. Your mind has to suspend reality for a little while, because there's nothing you can do about that election. So stop spreading hatred on Facebook. And this is the end of the me being lame portion of the podcast for 2015. TLC. Fun times. Let me know what you think. jporks@gmail.com. No. Whoa. Wait. That's my personal email address. Please don't hit that. jporkspodcast@gmail.com. That's jporkspodcast@gmail.com. Let me know your thoughts. Maybe I'll read them. And honestly, I recorded the TLC recap right after TLC happened. I'm not even going to go into the most incredible episode of Monday Night Raw that ever happened. But I am glad of how things turned out. Vince showing up, awesome. Vince is the fucking man. He threw those jobbers out of the ring. Get out of my ring. That's amazing. It was great. It was fantastic drama. Way better than anything that any white Republican can debate about. I'm just saying. Okay. Before I get a bon out of here, give you a list of websites. Quick list of the websites you need to go to help keep me in business once again. First, I would like you to email me. jporkspodcast@gmail.com. Get at me. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you want. Don't tell me what you want. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me where the venue is. Let me know. Go to concertconfessions.com. That's for all your live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. Also go to christinarocks.com. Hang the DJ, 89xradio.com, every Sunday morning. Throwback alternative, throwing it back like Thursday, except it's on Sunday. AndyDare.com is where you'll get Dare Network headquarters, where you'll get this and all other awesome Dare Network podcast stuff. And, of course, every week, the headlines, they be powered by AntiQuiet. Every time. Until next time, folks. Wacky Weed and Warren Zevon. Late.
This has been the Jay Parks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.